Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started.
Well, thank you for that, Dr. Tim Clinton, stepping in to let you know that yesterday on the broadcast, my son and co-host, Dr. Zach Clinton, began a thoughtful conversation with a man I deeply admire and respect, Dr. Don D. Costin. Dr. Costin is the president of Liberty University. Before returning to his alma mater in 2023, he served as president of Charleston Southern University and spent 36 years in the United States Air Force, retiring as a major general and the Air Force Chief of Chaplains. With advanced degrees in theology, ministry, and leadership, Dr. Costin brings a bold vision for integrating Christian faith with academic excellence as he works with an amazing faculty and staff to shape the next generation of champions for Christ. Yesterday, you heard how we are working with Liberty University and their new Global Center for Human Flourishing. The center is providing world-class best practices with a hands-on approach and resources to improve a person's life, faith, relationships, and success. Learn more and listen to the entire two-part conversation on our Life, Love, Faith, and Family show page at oneplace.com. Their conversation is filled with hope and promise. Let's rejoin Zach and Dr. Costin now for part two.
Dr. Costin, something that also comes to mind is your feverish work ethic, and you're somebody who has a hunger for knowledge and a thirst for truth. I was looking through all the different degrees that the Lord has allowed you to pursue and attain, several master's degrees, a couple of doctorates, but at the same time, no one's a stranger to suffering. We all go through hardship. We all go through seasons of disappointment, of discouragement, and when I think of you and when I think of military individuals and soldiers and people, they push through. And resilience is something that we all have to really hold on to and cling to in the face of adversity. I've done a lot of research on flourishing and resilience myself, and something that I've noticed, there's no concrete definition, but a common theme or a common thread throughout all of the academic literature is positive adaptation in the presence of adversity. When tough times come, you just are flexible enough to find a way to continue to push through and persevere and stay true to the mission God has placed on your life. Sir, in your life, when you think back to some moments of suffering and discouragement, how have you been able to push through, but also what has God taught you about the heart of resilience?
My mother is with the Lord now, as is my father, and she would tell me in so many words and so many ways, she would say, Costins are a lot of things, but they're not quitters. Mm. And so just that mindset, it doesn't matter what happens, the one thing I know, I can't quit. It's not in my DNA.
That's right.
It's not certainly and you know, genetically, I'm not predispositioned to it. Socially, my mom, I don't quit because I don't know if she can see me or not, but on the off chance that she can, yeah. I'm not a quitter because Costins aren't quitters. But really, the whole of Scripture, the thing I love about the Bible is the Bible doesn't sugarcoat life. In fact, it does the opposite. The Bible says, you know, its heroes are fallen people who make big mistakes but are able to be restored. Life happens. Bad things happen. My favorite scripture verse is Philippians 4:13. Now, when I first adopted that verse, when I was probably 7 or 8 years old, in my simple mindset, I thought, okay, one day I'll be able to dunk a basketball because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And of course, I've never been able to dunk a basketball on a regulation height goal without a little trampoline. No, I've dunked with a trampoline,
that's
but,
right.
but not without a trampoline. Once I got into the context of the passage, it's the Apostle Paul who was a frequent prisoner, who was frequently, you know, stoned and left for dead and all of that, but he got up and brushed himself off and said, I have a mission to do, and until my dying day, my job on the planet, the thing that gives me meaning and purpose, is to accomplish the mission. And his mom probably told him to, hey, Paul, you're a lot of things, but you're not a quitter, and so you keep going. And this is what the Bible is all about, is how do we navigate suffering? And anyone who would say that, you know, if you become a Christian, you know, then all your problems go away. No, you sometimes get more problems. Why is that? Because God is shaping you and molding you and forming you into his image. What I often tell students here, because I remind myself of this, you know, there are really two ways to live. You can live as if your life ends the day that you physically die. And Ecclesiastes would go, yeah, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Just go for it, man. You just go for it. Or you can live as if you were created at conception and you never die and your life goes into eternity. Now, the fact is, whether you believe your life ends on with your last breath or not, your life extends into eternity. And what we hope happens for you is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Even better, we hope that you get there early. Or as soon as you can, and we hope you understand that the life that you live in this fleshly body, which is going to have financial difficulties or going to have physical difficulties and or going to have all kinds of setbacks, all kinds of challenges, all kinds of obstacles, God is not surprised by those obstacles. In fact, he's designed you, and if you align yourself with his purposes, and you get up every day and you say, you know what? So what if I have a physical challenge today or a diagnosis that will, the doctors say, will lead to death? The doctors only know about my physical life. I'm going to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Spirit of God and all the saints of old who have gone before. It gives you a completely different mindset if you know that your life will never end and you live differently. You want to please the Lord in a completely different way than if you're like, well, I got to go to my job and just trudge through and hope that one day I'll get to be 65 and get a pension and get Social Security. I mean, I say, like, what a miserable life that is. No. God has so much more for you, and suffering is part of it. And again, the thing I love about the Bible is God doesn't like sneak it in there at the end and say, oh, by the way, suffering is going to happen. He says, no, suffering is going to be part of your life. Don't be a quitter. Just trust me. Have faith. And I will build in you the kind of character that I want you to have as I'm conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. And then you get to show other people the difference it makes with Christ in your life versus not having him. I heard a Bible teacher say a long time ago now, whether it's true or not, I can't say. In my experience, it's been true. And he says this, you know what? Every time a pagan gets cancer, a Christian gets cancer so the world can see the difference. Mm. And so that's what God has made us to do and be that light to people. So Costins are a lot of things, Zach, but they're not quitters.
They're not quitters. One thing I've learned, Dr. Costin, that my dad's really taught me is that at the heart of resilience is relationships. And when you talk about suffering, I was reading Romans 5 the other day, just talking about how we are called to glory in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. But I was reading a commentary, just really trying to digest and unpack the context and more. And I remember one theologian put it this way, that in the process of spiritual formation, in the process of sanctification, becoming more like Christ every single day, decision by decision, moment by moment, one of the most effective ways is through shared suffering. It talked about the compassion of Christ, that Christ is willing to suffer with, to suffer alongside of us, but also that we need other people to do this life with as well. And I know there's been several catalytic, influential people in your life, but I wanted to bring up, and you've already highlighted her, your bride, Miss Vicky.
Yes.
And I know that you guys have done a lot of life together, shared a lot of love and a lot of moments, but also probably a lot of hardship and a lot of suffering. I would love just to give you the opportunity to share a little bit about her and what her influence and her impact on your life is meant to you.
Yeah, you know, God, at least in my life, and I suspect in yours, knew the perfect spouse, the perfect wife for me, and he saved her, and the U.S. Air Force, Uncle Sam, sent me to her Sunday school class as a brand new second lieutenant, and neither one of us would have had any idea where our life was going to go. When I met her, she was a music elementary school music teacher. I was an industrial engineer, and the call to be a chaplain came later. But she said, "Let's go. You know, I'm in it to win it with you, yes. And whatever it is." And so I said, "Okay, it's going to be hard. I don't know where we're going to go, and I don't know where God's going to send us. I suspect there'll be a very long season." Of hardship when I have to go do lots of school. I'm working full time, and then there was a season when I was going to school working full time, and she was going to school to get a master's working full time. But from the very beginning, she said, "We're doing this together, and I'm all in." Mm-hmm. And that really is what I needed. And she has always been all in. Again, there have been difficulties and hardships, and you know when you're a military family, it's not just true for military. These days in a highly mobile society. But when you're a military family, you miss a lot of things. You miss family reunions and birthdays. You miss the impromptu, "Hey, your parents live across town. Hey, we're going to just drop by and we're going to bring barbecue. And we're just going to hang out." You miss all of that. Yeah. You miss all of that. And so I missed it with my family. She missed it with hers, but we missed it together. And so I think that really is the thing that she, among a thousand other things that she brings to, you know, to our relationship, is faith in me.
It's important to have somebody like that in your corner at all times. Like you mentioned, just like Vicky is to you, Evelyn, my bride, is to me. She is what I believe is the perfect complement. She really helps me seek discernment. I'm a go, go, go personality. Sure. I like to say yes. I like to serve. And she always just dials me in and asks me to really present things before the Lord. And we love doing life together. I love doing things with my bride. And I'm thinking, you know, a common joke on campus is ring by spring. There's a lot of people here.
Sure.
And you know it, Dr. Costin. Yeah, but sure. I want to ask you, for just some young people out there listening, whether single, whether dating, whether engaged, whether newly married, what's some just sage wisdom and advice on love and a lasting relationship? And really give us some principles, some tidbits that maybe you and Vicky practice or maybe do to make sure that you guys aren't just fighting with each other, but you're fighting for each other every single day.
Yeah, you have to do life together. You've said it, I've said it, and it has to be a partnership. It has to be not 50-50, but 100-100%. You know, you both have to be all in. You both have to be rowing in the same direction. You both, back to the military example, you have to know what the objective is. And so the first thing is talking about that objective. If you are a person who wants to get married, and you're starting to look around and you find yourself looking harder this year than you did last year because you're like, "Okay, I'm ready," then you really need to make sure that you are equally yoked. And so I would say equally yoked is not just both of your Christians. That's the fundamental starting point, because you're not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. But you also have to be equally yoked in the sense that what are your goals in life? What are your dreams in life? And if they're not completely well formed, that's fine. But what you have to agree to do is let's form them together. You know, let's figure this out together, and let's follow God together. Let's seek His face together. So Vicky and I did that at the beginning. And I went to her before I proposed, and I said, "God's called me to the ministry and to be an Air Force chaplain, and this is what it's going to mean." And this was before I had taken a single course to even qualify to be a chaplain. And I said, "It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. And I can't tell you what path we're going to take, but it's going to be difficult. Are you willing to do that? Because if you are, I will ask you the question. If you aren't, then I won't put you through that." And she said, "No, man, I'm in. Let's go." And so she did. And so I think that's part of it. And so then we had a season of about 30 plus years where it was pretty easy, because we had decided years before that whenever we get orders from Uncle Sam, and the thing I remind people of, the piece of paper that they give you is a set of orders. It's not a set of recommendations or suggestions or, "Hey, you maybe should think about this." No, they say, you too has your name on it, has her name on it. You're going here. and you have to be here by this point, and we don't know how long you're going to stay. Well, we had decided that. It doesn't matter what the paper says. We're going, and we're going to do it. And wherever the paper says, that's where we're going. Well, that was pretty easy because you're like, oh, we got a new piece of paper. Here we're going. Occasional tears because you miss your friends, you know, your place you love and all that. But, okay, we decided early on we're doing this, and we're going, and God's given us a new assignment. And we treated it as if God had cut the orders. Well, then you retired from the Air Force, and when I told Vicky that, oh by the way, I probably should have told you this 30-some years ago, but we have to leave the Air Force at some point. She was like, what? Like, what do you mean? Why would they make us leave? Well, it's this is the way it works, and I wish it weren't so, but I can't get promoted anymore. You know, this is it. And so we're gonna have to leave. And then we're like, uh-oh, what do we do now? Because there was no set of orders coming. And so I had to go find a job. But what we did together was we said, what do we love most about the Air Force and most about the chaplaincy? And where do you think we could do that together? Yeah. And there are a couple of options, most of the Air Force is composed of 18 to 22-year-olds trying to figure their way in life.
Right.
Most of chaplaincy is helping them figure their way in life through all kinds of mechanisms. And so I said, where could we do that, and where could we do that together? And it seemed that maybe Christian higher ed is a way to go. And so then I said, well, who in their right mind is ever going to hire a chaplain to be their president? You know, like what kind of crazy people would do that? And so I said to the board at Charleston Southern University, I said, hey, man, if you've decided to hire me, that's on you. You know, I mean, I'm willing to go and do it. And Vicky's all in, but that's on you. If you want to go that way, then okay. And so he just opened probably the only door that would have been open, that door of hope. He found the one place. I replaced a guy who had been there 34 years. Wow. At a school that was like-minded, biblically, all of that, the one place in a military town that was willing to try a military chaplain as their president, and he did it. He did it. And so we did that together. And then when the call came to consider Liberty, we were like, I don't know, man. You know, I told Vicky we'd move for the last time. We'd moved like 18 times already, and we finally have a house, and you know, we're in a neighborhood and have a normal kind of life. And my employer, for the first time in my life, no longer required a physical fitness test for me to keep my job. You know, I said, hey, this is going well. But we said, okay, all right. Liberty is an amazing place. We loved where we were. Cried when we left. Grieved for months. But we walked and talked for several weeks, and the theme of our conversation was, God, if you're in this, you need to make this, like I'm telling God what to do. Please, God, make it so obvious that you want us, again, to leave our friends that we love and the place that we love and the work that we love and all of that. Make it so clear that when we get to the end of this process, that the only answer is yes. And the other theme that we did as we walked many, 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 many miles over many, 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 many days, our theme was, we need to make sure that we're running to something and not running from something. And there were lots of reasons that we would have loved to stay where we were, because we were in some ways been there 5 years, but some ways kind of just getting started. But God made it clear, abundantly clear, that Liberty was the place that to move to Beach people.
Yes.
She's from Fort Walton Beach, Florida. I'm near Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina. We were stationed in Hawaii for 3 years and loved it. Moved to Beach people to the mountain. It is a remarkable place. We're so glad that we're here, and looking forward to seeing what God's going to do next.
Absolutely. What I'm hearing you say is, in marriage especially, in that sage wisdom and relational advice, dream together, believe together, and be together, right? There's a lot of research
That's
that says
right.
those couples that are close, that just do things alongside of one another. They keep it fun in their relationship.
Right.
That are committed. They communicate that commitment through both word and deed every single day. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, they communicate early and often, and then they complement one another in areas where one is strong, one might need a little bit of growth, and vice versa. They are constantly accepting influence from one another. Those are the couples that often stay together. And some of the most sage advice I received from Pastor Ted Cunningham out in Branson, Missouri, I'll never forget it. Right before Evelyn and I got married, he told me, he said, "Zach, hear me when I say this. What's natural early on needs to be followed by intentional later on to one day feel natural again." So every day, doing something to be intentional, to make the investment and to take the initiative, to pour into and to fight for your marriage and your love. Every single day. Dr. Costin, you alluded to just what brought you here to this mountain. I want to end this way. The word legacy. I'd love for you to share just a little bit. When your time is up here at Liberty University, what is your prayer and what is the legacy that you want to leave behind in this place?
The great thing about Liberty is that Liberty University is probably about the same number of letters, could have been called Legacy University. And we live every single day in the legacy of Dr. Jerry Falwell. I mean, it is not lost on me every day that there was a time, not that many decades ago now, when there was nothing here, but one man had a vision from the Lord and had the faith and the courage of his convictions to do the things that nobody else believed but him. But as it turns out, it only takes one guy. God can tell one guy, and that one guy can so believe in God and have so much faith that he becomes a magnet of faith for other people. And so the legacy that we leave is here. Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr., Jerry Falwell Jr., I live every day. I look at this magnificent campus, and I see the handiwork of two guys named Jerry Falwell. That's legacy. I get to work every single day with Jonathan Falwell, who is my pastor. Yes. And also the chancellor of this university. And I see him living out every single day that spiritual legacy of his father in ways that I just like pinch myself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? How did I even get here? This is so incredible. But Jonathan Falwell is in tune with his father's legacy. He's living it every day, and his name is Falwell. I get to go along for the ride. So what I hope happens the day that I leave, whenever that is, when I hand the baton off to the next lucky winner of this great position that I get to hold for the time being, what I hope happens is that I have prepared for that day. I hope it's not a surprise. I hope I've mentally prepared for that. I hope I've spiritually prepared for that. I hope that I have helped to lead a team that has begun new initiatives and is setting the table for the success of future trainers of Champions for Christ. And I hope that when I walk away and hand the baton, I hope people say of me, that guy was pretty good. But God was so much better, and look who God has now picked to succeed him, to continue the things that God has always done on this mountain. I hope that's the case. I hope that in the coming years, I run into people all over the country, all over the world, which I have done even in the last couple of plus years, who tell me the difference that Liberty not just made in their lives, but is making in their lives as they are champions for Christ in spheres of influence I will never be in. The wonder of the Christian life is that, you know, Jesus said, hey, guys, you're going to go do even greater works than I. Like, how is that even possible? And I think the answer is not so much quality, but quantity. And so we want the same Jesus-y quality in quantity that whether we produce a PhD or a Liberty University Online Academy graduate, a high school undergrad, graduate, certificate, associate's degree in welding, whatever it may be here, we want that person to go, you know what, in my sphere of influence, I'm the representative for Jesus Christ here. Where's Don DeCosta? He doesn't know how to weld. He doesn't know how to, he can't be a nurse. He can't be a doctor. But because they've been trained here, not just with a skill set, but with a mindset.
Yes.
And that mindset is the thing that I hope is the legacy. If I'm forgotten and God is remembered, that'll be a good thing.
Amen, sir. Ephesians 3:20, we serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And that is exactly what I hear that he has done in your life, what he has done in my life, what he has done in our lives, what he has done in this place. And I'll say this, this place is so special. It has left a legacy and a massive impact and influence on my own personal life. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the vision. I'm grateful for the leadership that continues on to this day here at Liberty University. Dr. Donnie Costin, my friend, thank you so much for your time. Again, I know it's precious. Thank you for letting us set up shop here in your office. We appreciate you and your leadership, my friend. Go Flames.
It's a pleasure. Go Flames.
If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Costin and the Global Center for Human Flourishing or any of the other spiritual and academic growth programs that Liberty has to offer, begin your journey at liberty.edu/academic-affairs. Again, that's liberty.edu/academic-affairs. Thank you so much for being our friend. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.